Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
You alright?
Yeah, I'm alright. You alright?
Yeah, I'm alright. Feels like it's been a while. I mean, people have been... I mean, it's a good thing that people have been busting our chops a little bit to hurry up and put this one out.
Yeah, it's only the same four cunts that it always is.
Yeah. But, well, sorry, but the reason is I've been on holiday. And if that's not a good enough excuse, relax, because it wasn't a very good one. And you've been near where I've been this week, right?
I have. You had a shit holiday?
Do you know what? Just wanted a little getaway, didn't I?
You've earned it.
Thanks, mate.
Oldest working man in podcasting, this cunt.
Exactly.
12 podcasts per month, he does.
Per day. Booked a little getaway. You can't really get a lot at the moment because everyone's going on in England.
Yeah. But the weather's been so fucking rancid, they ain't going to next year. They'll all be back abroad.
Yeah. Well, the weather was quite nice when we booked it. St. Osif's.
Yeah.
Looked on the website. Looked lovely. Had like a pool with like slides and stuff for the kids. And I thought, oh, this could be good.
I know St. Osif's, just down the road from Clacton.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's also quite close to Jaywick. A stone's throw. So
Jaywick used to be nice.
It did, yeah. It used to be, yeah. So we get the caravan, and it's clean. Right, weren't a cheap holiday either, right?
No, but there weren't any cheap holidays this year, was there?
No, mate. So we go in now. My eldest says, "Oh, we've got one of them fires that look like a telly." Right, with the telly above it. You know, like the kind of like the fake fires that are just basically like a telly. I mean, it's a good start to an holiday. Can I put it on? I'm freezing. Right. So, two remotes. One for the telly, one for the fire. It's not working. So, kiss it. Yeah, that's what remotes like. You only have one set of batteries and you have to swap them between all the remotes in the caravan because people keep stealing the batteries.
Got a pound land, you fucking tight cunt.
I've just paid 800 subs for a 4-night break, mate. I just want a couple of fucking triple A's in a remote for a fire that hopefully I'm not going to use. But if I do, I don't want to have to turn off Married at First Sight and take the batteries at the telly and put it in there to turn the fire on. Oh, and do you know what? Like, I knew this would happen. I'm going to have a couple of beers before we start recording. I've never seen that many people that have their shirts off when it's cold. I've never seen that many people with teeth missing.
Shut up, you cunt.
I just said tooth because I've been looking at you all fucking night. Literally.
I'm standing up for people with a tooth missing.
It's all right if you've lost a tooth. But, like, you ain't holding a fag in between that gap, are you? Everyone was just drinking cans of lager, like, at, like, 9:30 in the morning.
They're on holiday.
I love an holiday drink. I'm not boring. I'm not a snob. You're coming across as one. Well, I was born in Tilbury, and I live in the place that only 3 weeks ago was in the papers as being the worst place to live in the UK. Grays.
It's the worst place to live in the UK?
That was the article. It's not. St. Osyth's is. From my experience.
But it's worse.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just bloody horrible. The campsite next door, make of this what you want, right? So I walked to the caravan site next door just because there was nothing to do because it was cold.
What way? The Jaywick way or the other way?
The Jaywick way. And normally if you go to a caravan site, right, what amenities do you have?
Well, just all the regular ones.
Right, so they are sometimes a clubhouse, yeah?
Yeah, which you won't be allowed in unless you're staying there.
Right, so I got my passes, went in there.
Oh, did you? What, is it all part of the same thing?
Yep. Yeah. So, went in there, filmed the entertainment because it was... I'll tell you what, how I summed up the holiday. Pip messaged me and he went, "How's it going?" I said, "I feel like I'm part of an immersive experience for a pilot for a sitcom I don't know about."
I in the middle of something brilliant?
It felt like that. But the amenities on this one, right? So normally clubhouse, little shop, maybe a laundrette.
Yeah.
This one, boozer, shop that had a special on 3 litre bottles of Frosty Jack. Next to that was a tattooist, and next to that was a Thai massage parlour. Well, now, I'm not saying anything.
You've got to play to your crowd, haven't you? Your audience.
Yeah, all right. But you was just up the road, right? Walton. And that's where I went as a kid on holiday,
yeah.
Growing up. So I said, I'd be all right there. We're right on top of Walton. It's lovely there. It's, Walton, I imagine, is a lot better when it's not freezing cold. You've obviously been this week when it's been sunny, right?
Yeah. But the seaside's a different place when it's sunny, isn't it?
Yeah.
It all goes a bit every day. It's like Sunday, doesn't it, when the weather's wank?
There's nothing more miserable than like a cloudy... It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you know what? I ain't having a lot of luck with holidays lately.
Well, have you had another bad
experience? Yeah, I went to Mersey Island, didn't I? And a clutch fell out of my car before I got there. And obviously before that was the cruise when they lost me fucking luggage and I had to wear a fucking Norwegian cruise line fucking t-shirt for the whole week.
It fitted a 14-year-old kid.
No, it wasn't. It was XXXL, but at the time the kids were like about 10 and they both had to wear them as well.
Did you tie yours in a knot?
What, like just under my chest? That's your holiday. Dancing, mostly dancing. So that's been my trip to the seaside. Was yours more fruitful?
Yeah, it was nice. Nice sunny day on the beach in Walton.
Have an ice cream?
Where we was on the beach, it was quite a walk for an ice cream, but I did go and get one and I managed to get them back before it kind of, you know, melted and that.
Not ever got a problem walking for an ice cream?
Hmm?
Haven't got a problem walking for an ice cream?
I've not got a problem with walking for an ice cream. When it's the right ice cream, you know, I'm like the Proclaimers. In a lot of ways, when it comes to walking for an ice cream. You ain't, are you? You wouldn't walk 500 yards for an ice cream, would you?
Right, so I'll tell you what he's talking about. This would have been...
90s.
Yeah, 92, 93, I reckon. We went to Southend on a Saturday.
You say that like we went there once on a Saturday. We went there every single fucking week on a Saturday.
So we went there, but we didn't get an ice cream every week. We only ever had an ice cream there once. You didn't even want an ice cream. Did you want lemon ice?
No, I wanted a proper Rossi ice cream.
Right.
From the proper Rossi place.
Right. So we was in the high street where there was, in the middle of the high street was like a kind of like, I wouldn't even say it was a pop-up shop. It was just a kind of, like, a kind, almost like a sort of like mini porter, like an ice cream.
It was a kiosk.
Kiosk, that's the word. Kiosk. it was. It was a kiosk that sold, it was a Rossi kiosk. And I went, "Just get your ice cream." He went, "Nah."
No.
And I went, "No," he went, "it's not a proper Rossi." No, I was like,
"It's not proper Rossi. It's like from the Whitby machine. They ain't going to do it out the tub, are they? Because it's a kiosk."
And I argued this.
You'd had your Burger King. We'd gone in Golden Disc. You bought a record by the Wonder Stuff. So what else did you have to do? So we went for a walk to get an ice cream.
I've done my money. I wanted to go home. Like, but no.
You always like that. Got your Star Wars figure. I'm fucking waiting to get home and play it.
But you fucking went, "No, we're going to go and get a Rossi." And I was like, "We'll just get one there." He was like, "No, it's not the same." We walked. You misjudged that as well. It was a long way, wasn't it?
I'll admit now.
Yeah.
It was a little longer than I thought.
Yeah.
You're fucking complaining, though. Like, every 2 minutes. Like, it was like a kid in the back of the car going, are we there yet?
Never have I wanted to smash an ice cream in someone's face. Or just knock it out your hand once you got it.
No, I say, wasn't it? Proper Rossi.
Yeah, I mean, it was a Rossi that you can get anywhere.
No, it was a proper... From the tub, it was a proper Rossi.
You can get tubs of Rossi in every supermarket round here.
Yeah, I know, but not from the tub, you know, like the metal tub.
Yeah, that's bollocks.
I will admit that about a month later, you made us go to the kiosk because you wouldn't fucking walk there again.
Did I?
Yeah, and they did have the tub. Remember your smug fucking face. Winner!
Winner! I can't believe I forgot that. I'm surprised I'm not still dining out on that.
I'm going to edit that out.
Oh, dear. Let's talk Wickles.
Don't we always start with films?
Do we?
We always fucking start with films. Oh. I don't know why we have to go through this charade where you pretend you don't know we start with films. It's because you're always about 3 pints down the line.
I've had 2. Right.
Well, that's about 3.
Let me just pull up movie phone.
Right. What you got? I ain't got a lot this month.
No. I had to go on movie phone to find some more.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. So I imagine we've both got Evil Dead, yeah?
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
You've never seen Evil Dead?
No.
It's fucking brilliant.
You like horror though, didn't you?
Yeah, but even if you don't, it's fucking brilliant.
Well, if you don't, you're not going to want like watching the horror, are you?
Yeah, but you can just appreciate it being a good example of his genre.
But I don't like horrors.
Yeah, but that's like saying, you know... I'm just going to have to edit that out. I'm not even going to say it. I'm not even going to bother saying it.
You ain't editing that out. No way. Right, Evil Dead. Tell me what happens. What's the concept with the Evil Dead? How evil is it?
It's really fucking evil.
Right.
So it's a group of young people go and stay in a house in the woods.
Textbook.
And they find... I think they find like a book... and some audio cassettes, and they play the audio cassettes, and it's this, like, Explorer or something, reading from... I haven't seen it probably for 20 years,
okay.
But it's the Explorer or something, reading from this Book of the Dead, and it reawakens the spirits, unbeknownst to them, and then, like, the trees all go a bit rapey and that. And like, one by one, the people kind of get possessed, and then, like, until, like, it's only the main guy left. But, like, it's sort of, you know, like... It's real kind of schlock horror, eh? But it's really fucking like inventive on a low budget. One of them ones, yeah. It's fucking great. Right. Watch it.
All right.
Come round and watch it. I'll give you a cushion to hide behind.
All right. Well,
why don't you like horror?
I don't mind it. You
poo yourself.
No. Like, I ain't scared. Like, but yeah,
I just like watching it with my mum.
Yeah.
All right.
There was a film out called Don't Go in the Woods. Right?
Pedo.
Well, no, it's not. That's not. It's not.
That's what jumps to mind. Just the word association.
Don't Go in the Woods /pedo. It's that's nothing to do. I mean, I've got some ones here. Cannibal Apocalypse. So it's like, that looks like.
We've done Cannibal Apocalypse, haven't we?
No, we've done Cannibal Ferox and Cannibal.
Holocaust.
Cannibal Apocalypse looks like they turn up in New York. But that's not what I'm here to talk about.
What, cannibals?
Yeah. I don't know what happens on the plane on the way over there. I imagine the food that they're offered probably isn't going to be sufficient. Right, Don't Go Near the Woods is the film. So, you've mentioned woods, and so I want to ask you, in 1981, right, woods were dangerous, weren't they? Like, if you went to the woods, you was either going to get diddled with... you was going to go missing. You was going to find an adult river magazine.
Yeah.
You was going to build a camp that bigger kids were going to come and boot in.
Textbook.
Anything else happening? Was there any positives from going to the woods?
You might find someone who hung himself. That's not positive. That's another permutation.
I mean...
That happened to a bloke up my road.
Well, we used to knock about in Hangman's Woods, didn't we? Right, so that weren't called that after the bloke up your road.
No, it weren't named in the 70s.
Yeah.
But he found someone in there in the, was it 70s? Yeah, he found someone in the 70s who hung himself in the woods.
So they called it Hangman's Woods?
No, it was already called Hangman Woods. And as a, you know, as a coincidence, I don't know whether someone got inspired by that or someone was having personal troubles.
Wow.
And hung themselves in the woods. And he was walking his Dalmatian first thing in the morning and found someone hanging from the tree.
I don't think there's any positives to get from woods.
Tiger Woods?
No.
Chris Woods?
Morning Woods?
There's a positive.
No, I just think, like, the more I think back to woods, like, I remember, like, you know, we'd be mucking about. We built a camp and then we was proper pleased it, weren't we? And then, like, Big Kid booted it all in.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't think I've got any like positive memories. Like occasionally over the rookery, there was like a Tarzan swing that was like folklore. It was like you'd go over there and go on a Tarzy, and you'd go over there and there'd just be like a load of kids with their shirts off with pubes, like just going on there. And like they would have made like an extra bit out of like a tire inner tube.
Yeah,
just like, and like, I wouldn't know where to get a tire inner tube, but like. Tough kids called like Dean and things like that, they would have just fucking found one, wouldn't they?
It's like Pat Roach's kids, they could always get out of a tire in a tube.
Yeah, exactly. No, you ain't having it. I'll arm wrestle you for it. Yeah. I'm going in.
Like, the old man's got a load of them in his scrapyard.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, it just made me think about woods and just the fact that in the 80s they were like a hub of fucking horror.
they were a dangerous place, the woods.
Flashers hung around in woods, didn't they?
Yeah.
Where else do flashes operate?
Parks.
Yeah, I mean, it's a variant of a wood, isn't it? How many trees in a park before it's a wood?
No, I think it's if you put a fence around a wood, it becomes a park.
Right, okay. Right. Woodland. People got buried in woodland.
They still do.
I know. Like,
not as much as they used to.
Yeah, you don't see kids playing in the woods anymore, do you? I think they've learnt lessons. I think years of, like, woodland horror.
Why are you prowling around the woods looking for
kids
playing?
I ain't prowling around the woods. I'm just walking me dog, officer. I ain't done nothing wrong. But I walk me dog through the woods. And, like... And
prowling all my... around doing a tally chart of how many kids are playing now.
And I did actually walk through Dano's Woods the other day. And, I mean, they're dangerous. They, back when we were kids, had Dano's in... Which were like massive fuck-off holes. That
like they went to the centre of the earth, didn't they?
It felt like it.
Yeah.
And if I remember rightly, they weren't fenced off that much.
No, they weren't. They had that, you know, that old fucking fence that you climb over.
Yeah.
And, and sort of tread it down.
Yeah. And like, and I remember like people used to just dump stolen bikes down there and stuff like that. And we'd often sort of throw like fucking sticks down and see if we could hear it at the bottom.
Yeah, but you think you couldn't, could you? You'd throw something down there, like in about a week later you'd hear a plop.
By then, you were fucking buried by a stranger.
Definitely.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, some geezer with a beard with his pants around his ankles.
Yeah, that's the thing. I just don't think, like, you know, the people that flashers in the 80s wanted to flash out, I don't think they frequent woods anymore. I think they're going to have to start flashing in Primark and, like, and you know.
Yeah, but there's cameras everywhere now. You can't get away with it, can you?
Suppose so.
Not that you want to.
Yeah. But just saying.
Yeah. Would that it were.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Daz Boot.
I know nothing about Daz Boot apart from just like looking it up on Wikipedia. It was a German war film, wasn't it?
It's a classic,
made
isn't it?
By Germans.
Don't know. I've never seen it.
Yeah, like I think it's like sort of set in a U-boat or something. Daz Boot means the boat, doesn't it?
Suppose so.
That's what it said on Wikipedia. Well, I've got no reason to think they'd lie.
It seems we ain't got a lot to say about that. Just talking about the Evil Dead. Who's the most evil person you've ever met?
I have met an evil person.
Have you?
Yeah.
Who?
So we was playing, I subsequently wrote about this in a song.
You met Arthur Mallard, didn't you?
Arthur Mallard...
Did I call him Mallard?
Off Mallard.
Because didn't he get... He died.
It was after he died. I think his daughter said that, like, after, was it after her mum died or after her mum moved out, he took her on as his wife, you know, in a wifely way.
Leave it alone, Arthur.
Yeah, come on, Arthur. But he always seemed like a really chirpy cockney chap. He didn't, that's hard to say. He really seemed like a chirpy cockney chap, didn't he, Arthur Mallard? You never have thought, you know, when he was fucking all in his pearly king stuff with Beryl Reid, you wouldn't have thought he'd have been capable of any of that.
No.
But I met him, didn't I? Yeah. Got him to sign me Knits a Reb shirt along with all three BGs.
Sport now, isn't it?
Yeah, ain't worth a lot.
No.
Sentimental value, though. But, yeah, as well, I mean, yeah, I suppose he turned out to be a wrong one, didn't he, Arthur Mallard?
Yeah.
But when I was playing five-a-side over Pitsy on a Monday night in the the late 2000s, and we ended up playing like Team Old versus Team Young, and Team Young were all about 18 and really fit, and Team Old were kind of like, you know, 30s and 40s and sort of older, wily heads. And one of the young kids who come over, Aidan, bought his mate, Matt, who was like really fucking good. He was a really, really good player, like, you know, like the Pitsy Messi. He was such a fucking show off. He come over one week and he forgot his shoes and he played barefoot. And like,
still good.
Well, no one could just get near enough to him to fucking stamp on his foot. And then one week, like one of Team Young turned up, like, you know, hopping from foot to foot with excitement. Said, hey, have you seen the Basil and Echo? I'm like, no. He's like, Matt's a pedo. And Matt had been like grooming kids online. Been like this. I don't know whether he's just taking the podcast down a bit of a like rotten root.
But you've met a legit
fucking online pedo. But yeah, he was like, you know, like sucking them into his web of deceit, then getting them to, like, you know, like blackmailing them to whack off into a webcam and that. It was really bleak, yeah. Got 7 years. He's out now. I don't know where he is. But apparently...
Woods.
That's... And it turned out, like, it was after all this fucking come out that they said, oh, you know, his brother got done for it as well.
Jesus.
His brother got done as well, and he was out on licence and then got put inside again because they caught him showing some kid a picture of his cock on his phone in Pitsy Market.
This country.
It's got the dogs round here, isn't it?
Bloody hell.
Yeah, you'd think of all the things people have got to do nowadays, there wouldn't be any time for all that, but I think some people just make time for it. Pedo time.
I met Prince Andrew.
You didn't meet Prince Andrew.
I fucking did.
What was that, when your dad got his MBE?
I thought you was with me.
I think I would have remembered meeting Prince Andrew.
We didn't meet him.
What was it, being Cubs or something?
No. We was in London, like, doing gigs or something. I might have just been with a band. But we were just literally just walking down a side road to get somewhere. And there
Are you
was...
thinking of Ralph Harris?
No. Oh, God, I've met him twice.
Is he worse than Prince Andrew?
Oh, I don't know.
Prince Andrew didn't have any catchy songs, though, did he?
No.
Like, he's got no redeeming features. At least with Ralph, he had the songs first and the cartoon club and that.
Yeah. Forgot about that.
Pure evil.
Oh, right.
It's still hard to believe about Ralph, isn't it?
Do you know what?
I'm not saying I don't believe. I do fucking believe it, because you've only got to look at the pictures of him in the 70s. He's wrong. You can see he's wrong now. It's obvious now. It's like with Savile. You can look at him like, he's all wrong, isn't he? Like, look at his hair and his demeanour and fucking, he's wrong. You can see it now. It's obvious now.
When you see that, like, that photo fit of him without his specs on, not looking chipper.
Yeah.
He looks proper evil.
Yeah. Stare into the face of evil.
Oh dear. Right, let's move on to something cheerier.
Yeah, can we?
Yeah, so we're getting a bit bogged down in Nazis and Woodland.
Oh, there'll be a bit more of that later on.
Oh, okay. Right, is it Music Man?
Yeah, if you like.
Okay.
I'm always quite like fluid about these sort of things, you know. We can just do whatever.
No, you're not.
Whatever feels good.
Right, what do you want to do next?
Music.
Right. Well, you can start music.
Right, so I picked a chart from the middle of the month, because if we do that every month...
Oh, I've gone for the end of the month.
So it's only 2 weeks different from last month, then.
Oh, did I go middle of the month? Oh, right. Oh,
no, you went end of the month. No, you wanted to... I don't know why you do end of the month, because it's...
you do the first. You do the middle.
Because, yeah, the middle, because the end of the...
That makes sense now.
Because the end of the month is like the start of next month.
Yeah. Oh, right, yeah.
So what you're doing by doing the end of the month is you're ruining next month's podcast.
Right. Oh, I totally see what you're saying now. Yeah, you're completely right.
And that's what I do the middle of the month.
Right, well done.
So what you got then from the end of the month?
Well, Adam... And the Ants, he's number one with Prince Charming.
Oh, yeah, it was number one in my one as well, so that must have done a few weeks at number one then, Prince Charming.
Like that?
Yeah. As a kid, I don't think there's anything better than Adam and the Ants, Prince Charming and Stand and Deliver. Yeah, it's got the dance in it, it's got fucking dinosaurs.
Yeah, like, oh, it was great, wasn't it? I mean, yeah. As a pop star, Adam Ant had everything when he was a kid, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Was like, he just looked like a fucking superhero.
He's a perfect fucking pop star, Adam Ant.
Yeah, absolutely. And then at number two, I've got The Police's Invisible Son. How's Invisible Son go?
I keep thinking of spirits in the material
That's
world.
That's what I'm thinking.
We are in the invisible sun, spirit in an invisible sun.
Can it play?
If anyone knows how Invisible Son goes, write in.
Don't even recognise that.
Yeah, I sort of recognise it, but it ain't one of their best ones. But they were that popular by that point.
Number
they could have
two.
Just, but like they could have done anything then, and it had got in the charts.
If you was invisible, if you was invisible for just like I don't know, if you had an hour
of being invisible,
what would you do?
You're not allowed to say "tit up, ladies" anymore, are you?
Don't think so.
I won't. I weren't going to say that anyway. I was just checking whether you were allowed to.
You've got no other alternative. I love the fact in all the years that you thought if I was invisible for a day, you had an answer. Now you've got nothing.
Hashtag me too's fucking ruined everything, ain't it?
We're just going to start trouble.
He's probably just sitting doors. Have you got anything for that then?
I'd find someone I didn't like and just walk along and just boot them up the arse constantly.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. Probably have a walk around some woods.
Yeah.
But yeah,
no, I've literally got nothing for that.
Yeah, that's all right. I think we all know what you want to do.
I don't even want to do it anymore. I'm not admitting it.
Oh dear. Some other songs in the top 10 I've got. Did we sing a bit of Otto Ann last time? Hands up.
I've had a few messages from people saying that we always repeat things month after month, but it's because we have a beer when we're doing this.
It comes with the territory, I'm sorry.
Just doing our best.
Hands up, baby,
hands up. Give me your heart, give me your heart, give me. Hands up, baby, hands up.
It's a proper fucking mobile disco classic from the 80s, that. That was the old mum clap under the leg dance, wasn't it, that one?
Yeah. Yeah, and Dio, I think we have talked. We must have talked about this because we talked about D.I.S.C.O., didn't we?
Yeah. Number four, Pretend by Alvin Stardust. I don't know that.
No, I don't know that.
Released on Stiff.
Yeah, I saw that as well.
Yeah. Number five, I've got. Boo 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 boo. Boop, 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 boop. I've got bad rendition of Souvenir by OMD there.
That's more sort of boop, 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 boop.
I wish you could see his face. Boop, 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 boop. Oh, if I could do a mash up of Where Is Love by Oliver while you've done that, mate, bring the ass down. I love Souvenir.
It's lovely, isn't it?
Yeah.
I like OMD. I really fucking like OMD. I used to like them a lot, but I think I like them even more. than right. I used to like them.
The other day, Tesla Girls come on.
You don't like Tesla Girls?
No.
Have you reconsidered it? You realised I was right all along?
Wouldn't go that far, but I'd say that I heard it and I was like, oh, this is actually really good.
No, he's really good. Yeah. You was put off by the test. You were put off by that, weren't you?
Yes.
No. But, like, it's a good song. Yes. I fucking love Tesla Girls.
If it's no Enola Gay and it's no Souvenir.
No, it ain't, but he's good, though.
Or Joan of Arc.
Yeah, but they got an embarrassment of riches, I think, OMD. Mm. You don't like Sailing on the Seven Seas, do you?
I don't like that.
Only the song that inspired Personal Jesus.
Well, that'd be bullshit.
Well.
I like Pandora's Box.
Do you?
Yeah, it's tidy.
Except for Adrian Mole.
Oh, she was lovely. I fancy Pandora.
I like it's in her box.
Great songs. No. I mean, no. For souvenir, what about souvenirs? Have you kept anything?
Oh, you know, I fucking keep everything.
Yeah, you've got literally all of your toys, haven't you? I mean, we can see my Star Wars collection from here, which is about 6 months old, but you've literally got the lot and some, haven't you?
I kept all my Star Wars figures, yeah. Didn't I? Like, but I didn't know my mum had a dodgy lodger in the sort of early 2000s, and he'd stole a load of stuff from her house. Like, she found a load of stuff in his room, like, oh, I don't know, a fucking carriage clock and some processed cheese slice and stuff that he'd snaffled out the fridge.
Sorry, did you? Sounds like a generation game.
Yeah, I can't really remember all the things. A power tool.
Tea's made.
Yeah, he'd snaffled loads of, like, random contraband. Yeah. But she took him in after, like, one of her mates had lobbed him out because she'd caught him pinching her jewellery. And then my mum took him in on the premise of him doing some odd jobs around the house because she felt sorry for him. And then he ended up nicking some stuff from her. And so she turfed him out as well.
That's quite 80s, isn't it? A dodgy lodger that nicks jewellery.
He weren't like a gentleman thief, though. He weren't like David Niven.
Like one of your own.
Yeah.
Like, wouldn't steal from his own.
Yeah. No, he was more like Castle.
Yeah.
Just someone that just like...
I'll eat your pasty out the fridge.
Wheedles their way into your house, and then we'll just kind of like nick your dad's jumper and a pasty.
I love the fact that. I mean, he was a serial criminal, wasn't he? Like,
he probably stole cereal as well.
Like, yeah. Like, I mean, we should point out that Mr. Gels would regularly not have any money, so he's. His currency was, we'd give him the top 40 and a list of records that we wanted.
Yeah.
And he'd go into Woolworths in this leather jacket where he'd fashioned a pocket that was 12 inches wide.
His big pocket, wasn't it? Like it just, Alan's big plate, wasn't it?
He'd just go in there and nick a load of records, come back out and he'd be like, right, there you go. Okay, you ain't got to pay petrol money today. And yeah, he'd sort us out your records. So, have you got like, did you keep things like, anything like from sort of like the early days of like Cunt and that?
I don't think I threw anything out. Yeah. I've got boxes of stuff up the loft that I meant to fucking like de-box while the pandemic was going on, but it's all still in boxes. Like,
oh, you'll get round to that.
Yeah. There's the first ever little cunt that Lil sewed, who's just like, he's like an hand puppet with this great big like purple shiny cock. And I had him probably like for the first year or whatever of doing gigs, and then like upgraded him to one with like a fake arm and like Bob Carroll G's.
Yeah. There's something a little bit sad about just thinking in the loft there's just a little cunt just in a box.
Yeah. Oh, no, there's two of them now. They keep each other company. It's like Spit the Dog. He had a few of them, didn't he?
Cuddles. Yeah, Cuddles the Monkey, didn't he?
Yeah, it didn't go for as much.
Did he
eBayed them all, didn't he? We've talked about this, but it was about a year ago. But he eBayed them all. He eBayed all the spits.
Birdie's song is storming up the charts at the moment.
Is it?
Yeah.
Did you like a little bit of this and a little bit of that?
Yeah. Yeah, I did.
Mm.
Did you?
Yeah, I didn't mind it, yeah.
I know you're a big fan.
I grew to hate it, though, from Mobile Discos.
Yeah, I mean, I remember going on holiday to Yarmouth one year. And that must have just come out. And I remember just fucking thinking it was the best thing I'd
ever
heard.
It was the best thing ever.
Yeah.
Because you could do all the actions to it.
Yeah.
Little bit of this, little bit of that. Shake your bum. Clap, 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 clap.
Got to say the word bum.
Bum.
What more did you want? I'll tell you what more I wanted. I wanted David, the little fellow I met on holiday, wanted to fucking get hold of his big sister.
Did you?
Nah. I was about fucking 9 and she was about 17.
I mean, did you actually get hold of her? I mean,
no,
you wanted
not.
To.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Loved her. She had a rah-rah skirt.
Did she?
Yeah.
Weren't there any woods around the campsite?
You like Godley and Craig, don't you?
I do, yeah.
I mean, in a...
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
At number 6, Under Your Thumb by Godley and Cream. I really like that song.
Was that number 6 in your chart? That was number 30 in mine, so a lot can happen in a fortnight.
Under Your Thumb.
It's a good song, that. Have you heard it lately?
It's kind of all chorus, isn't it?
No, it's not. It's because it sets it all up in the verse. I was waiting at the station. Of a stationary train, and someone got in behind me. And I thought I heard a woman's voice cry.
Don't want to be
under your thumb forever. It's got a great chorus, but the verses are good as well, because they tell the whole story. It's like a fucking film in 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you like them story songs?
Yeah, I love a story song.
Yeah, I like a story song.
What's your favourite?
If I had to pick one, I do think Under Your Thumb is right up there for me, because I like them kind of supernatural ones that make you feel a bit weird. And I think Stan Ridgway's Camouflage is a perfect fucking example.
Gosh, yeah.
Like, you know, it's a ghostly... You find out at the end it's a ghost. Sorry, it's plot spoiler for anyone that hasn't heard it before, but you find out it's a ghostly presence.
Yeah, it's a good shout. I didn't even consider that.
Yeah, I love Camouflage. And it's daft as well, because when he turns around, Camouflage has pulled a big palm tree up out the ground and he's swatting those Charlies with it from here to Kingdom Come. Mm. How about you? Got any good ones? Fuck's that?
I never thought it would happen with me and
the girl. Oh, of course, yeah.
Up the Junction by Squeeze. Like, what a brilliant story.
Yeah, it's proper, isn't it?
Yeah, fucking sad.
Yeah.
Really sad.
But, like, Camouflage and Under Your Thumb both do that. Like, sink you into the world and fucking, like, properly deliver.
I think when I think of stories in songs, most of them are really fucking sad. Eleanor Rigby.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's obviously a fucking incredible song. I actually come on, I was having a run the other day. The strings on that are fucking amazing.
Yeah.
That's a proper sad song, that is. Old Red Eyes by the Beautiful South.
Oh, that's a good one, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, boy.
I'll tell you what, 24 Hours from Tulsa.
Oh, what a fucking record that is.
Like the idea that, you know, you fucking have this big drive, you get 2 minutes from home, and then, like, you end up getting smelly fingers and it fucking jog your missus on.
Right. So, explain the lyrical content there. Sorry.
What, 24 Hours from Tulsa?
You get smelly fingers, you say.
I believe.
How does he get them?
That was cut out the seven inch version.
Right.
It was on the album version.
Oh, okay.
Mm.
Right. Unfortunate.
Around the back of the calf. I had another one as well. Was I did what I did for Maria.
That's old fucking thing he sings that, isn't it?
Is it Tony Christie?
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
He's got some belters.
Yeah.
Like, I know Amarillo's, you know, let's have a fucking party when we're on holiday, but that's a fucking great record.
Yeah.
Avenues and Alleyways, he's fucking amazing.
Yeah, he's good, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, he was a fucking dude, he was.
Yeah. Might have to get the best of Tony Christie. Have you got it?
I have, next door.
Oh, might have to borrow that off you.
He done that one with the All Seeing Eye as well, didn't he?
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
What was that?
Oh, I can't think. Sheffield boy, wasn't he, I believe?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah. He weren't from Tulsa. Well, he was, but it took a day to get there. Okay, Endless Love at number 9.
Do you like Endless Love?
Yeah, I do.
What's good about it? Like, other than it gets your wife's cunt wet. That ain't a bloke's record, is it?
Madness are in at number 10 with Shut Up.
That's a coincidence.
I like Shut Up. It's not one of my faves.
Yeah.
But I do like it.
Yeah, but that's another one. Like, Madness have got such a fucking embarrassment of riches, isn't they? That you can have a song like Shut Up and it ain't in their top 10 songs.
Bizarrely, just while we're on this, while we're talking music, and I imagine we've spoke about them on this podcast already, ABBA have got a new record out.
Oh, yeah.
You heard it?
Yeah, it just sounds like all the other ABBA records, like just like sellotape together.
Yeah.
Have you heard it?
There's two, aren't there?
I don't know. Yeah. I heard one.
Yeah, one was really slow and one was faster, and the fast one was better.
Oh, well, this was kind of like mid-tempo-y, like Dancing Queen-y kind of tempo, I think.
Oh,
and it had the fucking piano run that went into the chorus. It was just like you took little fucking, you know, little motifs ABBA from every numbers. ABBA song. Like, it was all right in that.
Yeah. Right, what else is in the chart?
They've set the bar quite high, though, haven't they?
Really fucking high. Right, so, also in the charts, Climbing, Just Can't Get Enough by our hometown heroes, Depeche Mode, Basildon's Finest.
What number's that?
That's at 12 this week.
That was just that sort of 40 in the middle of the month.
Why are you making this hard for me? You've been quite aggressive tonight.
You've said that in a few podcasts, and I'll listen to it back and I'll just edit it out. So I'll sound affable. I'm always getting messages about how affable I am, and they're like, why does he get so angry about kids' TV and holidays?
Every time I look at the charts, they're dollaring the charts. They were really shit, weren't they?
But were they, though? What's that handheld in black and white?
I don't even know what that is.
That's all right.
Is it?
Trevor Horn wrote it, I think, and he's playing bass with them on Top of the Pops.
Hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's all right.
Mm-hmm. What any songs you want to talk about?
I'd UB40, 1 in 10 at number 12.
1 in 10. I really like that.
Yeah, I like that as well.
Yeah. One of them died the other day, didn't he?
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
What one?
Oh, God, I don't want to say this saxophonist and get it wrong. I don't think it was.
It's like there's two UB40s now, though,
yeah,
aren't there?
Yeah.
UB40 and UB41.
It was the UB40 that's got Ali's brother singing in it. Not the UB40 with Ali and, is it Asti?
Yeah. I don't think Ali's even in it anymore, is he?
Actually, Ali's younger brother, who was, because there's two brothers, weren't there, in UB40 in the original lineup.
Yeah.
And I think they're in two different versions now. And then,
what, there's a brother in each?
Yeah. And then the third brother that wasn't in the original sings in the other one that Ali isn't in.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, but I think that brother's just left. Like,
awkward, isn't it?
That UB40 documentary.
That's an awkward Christmas, isn't it?
It fuck me. That UB40 documentary is one of the best documentaries I've ever seen.
Oh, really?
Like, and then, yeah.
I've not seen that.
You've just got, like, the labels just going, like, theoretically, because they're all potless. They're saying, theoretically, they should all be, like, fucking multi-millionaires. They were, like, stadium-filling, like, across the world.
Yeah.
And, like... Yeah, but like every time the accountant would try and say something, they'd be like, "No, no, skin up," and then yeah, literally just got absolutely fleeced by corrupt fucking accountants and stuff, and no one can trace the money, and it's like millions and millions and millions.
But all their songs after that original fucking, you know, that original first couple of albums, all the big songs were covers, weren't they?
Yeah,
it's like they just ran out of fucking ideas after two albums, wasn't it?
I think so, but like. You know, when you look at like there's a really famous gig where they're in like South Africa, and like wherever they play, there's like literally like 100,000 people, and yeah. It's like you're making mega money if you're doing that. Do yeah. You know what I mean? Like if you're live gigs and stuff like that.
But back in the day, people used to do the gigs as loss leaders to sell the records, didn't they? Like yeah. So, I don't know where all the fucking money went. Well, it just must have gone to the promoters and the record companies, mustn't it?
Yeah, I guess so. How are we doing for records? We nearly done?
I had one more that I found at number 50 in the middle of the month. I don't think it troubled the top 40 because when I was doing my final album, Blue Ruffle, I'd done a version of Gary Newman's Cars called Bras. and it was only after I'd done it and put it out that I found out Ivor Biggin. Because this was the thing. When I first fucking started doing Cunt the Gang, I sent out like half a dozen CDs to like management companies, and I got this horrible snotty fucking email back from Avalon. Because I didn't know who Avalon were, but someone had said you should approach Avalon and see if like you can get some management to get a tour going. And I got this horrible fucking snotty email back saying, "Forget it, mate. I've a big and done it all 25 years ago." And I was like, but yeah, he didn't do everything. You know, he didn't wank and cry.
Yeah.
And so...
He definitely didn't.
He did a lot of things.
Yeah.
But I like Ivor Biggin, just fine. And then, yeah, funnily enough, after I'd fucking put my last album out with Bras, Cars on, I found out Ivor Biggin did in fact do Cars as Bras.
Oh, really?
He had a medley single in 1981 called Bras on 45. And there was lots of bra, you know, like it was like a bra based montage.
I've got that Ivor Biggin album. I don't know why. I don't know how I've got it, but I've got that on vinyl.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What
was the single?
The Winters song.
Yeah. I've got the album. I've no idea why. It's just like a kind of character on the front. Like black sort of drawing.
Yeah.
Never listened to it. But
he's got some quite good ones. Have you heard Hide the Sausage?
No.
It's Good Days.
What's that about?
Don't know, like secreting a pork-based snack somewhere, I suppose.
Don't sound that good. Right, where do we normally go now? I'm normally really pissed by now. Is it sport?
Or is it TV? I don't know. Just do whatever you like. I think like after you know, as long as you do films first, music second, everyone's tuned out by now, so we just do what we fucking want.
All right, what have I got to do?
Whatever you like.
Right. So TV.
I mean, I was thinking probably world events. Yeah, go on, TV.
Smurfs launched.
Did it?
Yeah.
I didn't have the Smurfs.
Yes.
Was that on movie phone?
No, that was on Wikipedia.
Hmm.
The Smurfs launched. Fan of that?
Did Father Abraham lurk around in the woods? I think he did, because wasn't that where the Smurfs lived?
Yeah.
Bearded man, in the woods, 81. You do the math.
Yeah. The Smurfs ruined. We mentioned ghosts earlier. Rent-A-Ghost launched.
Did it?
Yeah. Rent-A-Ghost launched in... I thought it was a bit later than that, but it wasn't.
I thought we talked about Rent-A-Ghost already on a previous...
Did we?
Yeah, because you made me edit a bit out.
Oh, I did, didn't
that
I?
Mr. Claypole.
That's right. That was the first one.
Was it?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. Let's move on then. It's a Knockout was on.
Oh, was it?
That was a lot of fun in 1981, wasn't it?
Yeah. That was another one hosted by someone evil, wasn't it?
Yep. It wasn't so funny anymore, is it?
Yeah. I had him in my celebrity pedo quiz. Stuart Hall, wasn't it?
Yeah.
In the 80s, I hosted It's a Knockout. Now you picture me with kids and me cock out.
So, it made me think of something, because I remember thinking, like, It's a Knockout was, like, the best when I was a kid.
It was good, It's a Knockout, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
It was a lot of foam, wasn't there?
Felt like a lot of foam, like a lot of like big characters, like big like
made of
suits
foam.
And I remember just thinking it was like really exciting. And the closest I was thinking about it today, the closest we ever got to anything that was like fun and outdoors where we lived was this thing that happened literally in the field that we used to play in.
Yeah,
and it was called the Donkey Derby.
Yeah,
and it was like. I do remember it was like the same sort of anticipation as like the 999 fair with Wellifant in East Hillbury.
Yeah.
Or the fair coming.
Yeah.
Or the carnival. I mean, the carnival was a big deal, wasn't it? It was like, let's go and stand somewhere and throw coins at people on the floats. But like, but the Donkey Derby, I remember thinking, yes, it's the Donkey Derby. And it was just shit, wasn't it?
But you say that, but I think. At the time, it must have been good, mustn't it? Because you could win a goldfish. You could actually win a goldfish.
Yeah, I know, but...
Why was it called the Donkey Derby? Did they have a donkey race?
Yeah, they'd race donkeys.
Was it with people on?
I think so. That's cruel, isn't it?
Well, it depends how big the people are.
What?
Like, if it's Rick Waller... But like if it's like Gary Coleman.
Yeah. Waller's not going to win that race.
His donkey's getting shot later on, isn't it? Bolt over here for Waller's one.
Start singing, will you, Rick? Oh, fucking hell. But yeah, I just remember it just being rubbish. There was no good, like... I think as a kid, like, the carnival or anything like that, fundamentally, all you really want is arcades and rides, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's all you're bothered about. Like, and I think anything else other than that is a glorified fate, and fate's a shit.
I know what you mean. It was fundamentally... there was a tombola, wasn't there?
Yeah. Anything like that, which is some grumpy old bint that from the community that has spent fucking... a month at the local town hall just making a massive deal about this fucking shit raffle where you're going to win a box of fucking biscuits.
I have really nice memories of the Donkey Derby. Do you remember, because we had mates whose house backed onto the field, Steve and Ian.
Yeah.
Do you remember the year, like, their elderly neighbour tried to bunk in over her fence, and she got her foot stuck on top of her fence and was just like calling weakly from the garden, and like she just had her foot stuck on top of a fence and it was like railings, and so she's holding on with her foot up there, and their dad had to go around her garden and like lift her down.
I vividly remember, like, we'd go out and they were twins, weren't they? And they were like mum and dad were like members of Thurrock Harriers, our local running club.
Yeah.
And and they loved a bit of running, didn't they? And like so much so that we'd all be like playing football over the field, and then like the mum would be like, "Steve, Ian, in running," and then they'd have to go in, put their running stuff on, and then run around the outside of the field.
Yeah, but they got a miles bar. I never got that though. Of like stopping them running around playing football and make them go and run.
Yeah,
never saw the logic in that. But it's a different kind of fitness, isn't it?
Maybe. That was the Donkey Derby. Fools and Horses launched in September 1981. You a fan?
Yeah, the rumours about David Jason is just like...
Oh, for fuck's sake!
I know you want to paper over the cracks just to kind of keep this feel good, but, like, you know, if you Google it, what happened in his house in 2009, I mean, he didn't know anything about it, obviously, because he's still a national treasure. So, I just want to clear him here. Once and for all, stop this getting mentioned, because he didn't do anything. He was on holiday.
Right.
So that's the end of it.
All right, let's keep it light. Bullseye launched.
I was going to say Danger Mouse as well launched this month.
David Jason.
Yeah.
I hate Danger Mouse.
Do you?
Yeah, I really hated it.
Why did you hate Danger Mouse?
I didn't like the theme tune. And it was just
what
like...
What was the theme tune?
Danger Mouse. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Danger Mouse.
I don't even remember that.
Yeah. Like, Danger Mouse was a cunt. yeah, he was. He was just like... Penfold was like... I don't know, actually, because I don't really ever watched it, but was Penfold like the one that was a bit of a knob that actually solved it all the time?
That was like Holmes and Watson, wasn't it? Just...
Yeah. And Baron Greenback.
I forgot about Baron Greenback.
But yeah, I really hated it. ITV cartoons.
Do you like Fools and Horses then?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Yeah. I don't watch it anymore, but I would say that I've probably seen every episode 20 times. I had them all on VHS and I used to sort of sling them on as I was going to sleep.
Yeah.
Because like, it's kind of, it's just easy comedy, isn't it? Yeah. I watched a thing a little while ago where there was some of the remaining cast were on there talking about the whole kind of concept of it. And yeah, there's some incredible bits of comedy throughout them series. But yeah, I'm at the point now where I've seen it all enough.
Yeah.
And I don't, you know.
Would you go back and watch anything repeatedly like that?
Nah.
Yeah. Like, because, I mean, I still sling on Fawlty Towers like once every couple of years. And The Office.
The Office,
well.
I would say definitely The Office. Maybe Partridge.
Partridge, yeah.
Sometimes if like it's like 11 o'clock at night and there's nothing on, like, you know, sitting there with a semi and Naked Attraction, I've gone on the second round where it's just the fellas, like, I then switch over, and Peep Show's on. I'll always watch Peep Show.
Oh yeah, Peep Show's good, isn't it?
I really like that.
What did you do on holiday when you had to take the batteries out and put the fire on because she was cold because you had your cock out?
But I don't think like Fools and Horses is on constantly on Gold or whatever.
Yeah.
And I rarely put it on. I will happily watch To Hull and Back anytime. That's my favourite episode. I really like that. But yeah, I don't really sort of go over there anymore. It's a good theme tune, that, isn't it?
It's a cracking theme tune.
Yeah.
That's a bloke's theme tune,
isn't
it? It's
a proper bloke's
theme
tune.
That's right up there with a...
That's Living All
Right. Mind of One, yeah.
Yeah. I actually done top five ruddy bloody blokes on our call listing this week.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Who was your top five?
I had Roach, obviously.
Hold on. People can tune out and go and listen to that and then come back and join us, can't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just to warn this, a plot spoiler. Where was Roach?
At one.
Was he?
Yeah. Terry McCann,
yeah.
Mike Reed,
yeah,
not the Radio 1 DJ. No. Who else did I have? I can't think of who else I had.
Oh. What, from the 80s, were they?
Paul Hogan. he was all brown leathers. All wore brown leathers.
Did they?
Yeah.
Mr. Gels had a brown leather, didn't they?
Yep. That one that he put his records on was a brown one.
How was it? Was that the same one?
Did you ever see that brown leather he had that he got for Christmas that year?
It weren't the droids he was looking for, was it?
He got really upset about that. Because obviously I don't think... Like, he'd been bought this leather, and it was like a leather your dad would wear. And he wore it, hoping that no one would say anything, I imagine. Just like, well, it's just a coat, isn't it? But obviously, I don't think we were horrible enough... But bollocks was. And I remember he was just like, hey, what's that? And I think, you know, I never saw Joe wear that again.
My mum bought me a coat for Christmas about like 6 or 7 years ago. And I just went, why have you got me that? And she went, well, just trying, like, mum's always trying to smarten me up a bit.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, throughout my whole fucking life.
Yeah.
Just trying to smarten you up a bit.
Yeah.
But, like, it was like a wax kind of barber coat. I ain't going to wear that, am I? And she went, Mum, I've got to be honest, just take it back. I said, you still got to be seeing that, just take it back. And she went, but you'll wear that. I went, no, it's a wanker's jacket.
I'm not going to wear it. You're ungrateful.
Yeah, but I'm not going to... No, I think that's the kind
of... Was this Christmas?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
unbelievable.
I'm not wearing a wanker's jacket. I don't want to look like a fucking wanker.
Just say you don't really like it. Don't tell your mum it's a wanker's jacket. I'm getting this aggressive because I've got one.
You've got a wanker. Wanker.
Oh, dear. But, yeah, I mean, I remember... I must have mentioned the feeler ski jacket on here, haven't I?
I don't know. Go on.
When my mum phoned me up and she was at round her mates and he used to get a load of dodgy gear. And my mum phoned me up and just went, do you want a feeler ski jacket? And I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, I'll beat the mother load.
Like, blah, blah's got a load of knocked off ones. And I was like, fucking hell. And we come home, it was just this like really bad, like quilted like jacket.
With an F sewn on it.
With like a feeler thing, like embroidered really badly. And I thought it might be like sort of like almost like a 3/4 length, like cool. It weren't. It was like really tight round the waist and it was really thick. So I just looked like the Esso man. It like made me look even fatter than I was. And it was just like, and my mum was like, there you go. And she was so pleased to bring it home. And I thought, I've got to go to school the next day in this, and I remember just walking in, it was like, Imo!
Oh!
And like, everyone just shouting Imo at me, and I was like, never wearing that again.
Did you throw Barham under the bus and go, yeah, but he's got a Skoda!
Oh, dear. I also remember once wearing this like 3/4 length black leather jacket when I was in the last year of school, last year of like junior school, and it was like, I was lucky. I had like a Fred. I had a Fred Perry, like a white Fred Perry, and a Fred Perry black V neck jumper, and it's like the only school photo I ever got where I look all right. Like and I remember there was like these kind of like 3/4 length black leather jackets with like sort of a couple of big pockets at the front. It was really fucking like all the lads had them. And I thought, and it was like Christmas. I was like, oh, can I have a leather jacket for Christmas? And I must have just been sort of getting into the idea of like clothes.
Yeah.
And like and fashion or whatever, and my mum went, oh, I'll go down to Mix in Tilbury, and I just thought, but I don't. Christmas, I woke up. She bought me a green leather bomber jacket. Green. I've never seen a green leather jacket before. Or after that,
nah,
never wore it. And I was just like, why have you bought me a green leather jacket? Like, got a Millennium Falcon, I think, the following Christmas just to make up for it. But yeah, but. Bullseye,
yeah.
Right, as a TV show, I mean, most of the people on there...
Blokes.
Well, I don't know. I would say, looking back now, most of them people were in St. Osyth's last week.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah. I didn't see a dartboard, though. I like a bit of Arras.
Yeah, I don't mind a bit of Arras.
Yeah, like, it's a bloke sport, isn't it, darts?
Yeah, I never play it, so I am fucking rubbish at it, but I do enjoy it.
Yeah, I wouldn't start mixing it in a pub with like a darts team. I think I'd come unstuck.
Yeah, definitely.
Like
you would never hit a double, would you?
No, no.
Me neither.
Well, I'm quite glad that, you know, every other TV show we've spoke about tonight, you've made quite sinister and horrible.
Well, did you hear about the murderer on Bullseye?
Here we go.
Did you hear about the murderer on Bullseye?
On Bullseye.
Yeah. He was one of
Do you know what?
He was like, one of the contestants on Bullseye.
Yes, because and you can still see footage of him on Bullseye, can't you?
Yeah.
Right, I don't know what he done. Or what he obviously murdered.
Right, here we go. I went on, because I watched a documentary about 6 months ago. But I went on Wikipedia. His name was John Cooper. And I'm just going to read you a little bit from his Wikipedia, just for you and any of the listeners that haven't heard about him. So between the ages of 17 and 21, Cooper was charged with theft of a vehicle, assaulting a police officer, being drunk and disorderly, and assault occasioning the actual bodily harm. In 1978, Cooper, then a farm labourer, won $90,000 and also a $4,000 car in the newspaper Spot the Ball competition, which would be like £500,000 nowadays. A friend said, John developed a huge drink and gambling habit after his winnings went to his head. It was a life-changing amount of money, and I saw a real change in him. He spent most of it in pubs and bookies. People were scared of him, and he got into a lot of fights. As his money dried up, he started the robberies. Like, at this point, he's still a bloke, isn't he?
Yeah.
Well, an edgy Pat Roach.
Yeah.
On 22nd of December 1985, Cooper targeted a three-story farmhouse at Scoston Park, killing brother and sister Richard and Helen Thomas, then burning down the house. Cross the line. On 29th of June 1989, Peter and Gwenda Dixon were on holiday in Pembrokeshire and were due to take their last walk along the coastal path when they failed to return. Get where this is going. Their dead bodies were later found along the path. Cooper had tied the couple up, demanded they hand out their bank card and then forced them to disclose their PIN, and carrying a sawn-off shotgun, robbed Peter Dixon of £300, then shot him in the face at point-blank range.
When did he go on bullseye?
I'm getting around to that.
Right. All of this before he goes on and does a bit of Bully?
That was a week after he appeared on Bully. So he'd already done the couple in the farmhouse.
So he's on Bully, and week later he's murdered two people.
Yeah, and on Bully, he talked about how he likes to walk the Pembrokeshire coastal path, because he's like, they called him the coastal path killer.
There was a TV show about him.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like, there was a
drama.
A drama, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then after he appeared on Bully, in 1996, he attacked five youngsters in a park, holding them at gunpoint, taking them into the woods, where he sexually assaulted one girl and raped another, and one was just 15.
Wow. So where was he caught?
So he was sentenced to 14 years in 1998 for robbery and burglary, and he was released from prison in 2009, but they'd done a cold case review and found his DNA. And then the footage of the edition of Bullseye convicted him. There was a shot of him with his like mullet and that from the back that was like matched. They matched up exactly with like an artist's impression. So that was used as part of the prosecution's case. Wow. And that and the DNA, like, and him talking about the Pembrokeshire coastal path and stuff, that convicted him.
Wouldn't it have been great if it would have ended with like a fucking chase in his speedboat that he won for Bullseye?
Definitely.
Oh dear, fucking hell. I knew that there was, when you said that bit about his hair, I remember hearing about that as well.
Yeah.
Fucking hell, that's insane.
Stay out of the black, in the red.
Fucking
shoot
hell.
Two people and leave them for dead. What? What else you got?
What else have I got?
Grab some beer, will ya?
I think that's it for telly. Yeah, that's all I've got for telly. I can move on to news items.
Ooh, I haven't done anything on news items, so it's all going to be news to me.
We can whiz through sport.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
It got a lot. It was a Ryder Cup, the Golf Ryder Cup in September 81. We ain't golfers, are we?
Nah.
I just can't ever see me and you on a golf course.
I often think what would have been if I'd took me wanker's jacket.
I just don't think we're the sort of blokes that are going to ever play golf. I don't think we'd be welcome on golf courses. I don't like golf.
No, I've got no fucking interest in it. I don't know, like, I don't really like any sport apart from football. Can't find any enthusiasm for it.
World Judo Championships. Did you ever want to do judo when you was a kid?
I sort of like, you know, sort of like the idea of it.
Yeah.
But I think that was maybe just around the time of the Karate Kid, and you kind of like all those martial arts just suddenly seemed really alluring.
I think that was before that, because when Karate Kid came out, that's when I went to karate. Mm. But judo was like early days, Brian Jack, Superstars. It was all like kind of very early 80s. And yeah. I remember just thinking, oh, proper love to do judo.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know if my parents just thought I was a soft kid and were like, no, I ain't letting you go there. You're going to get like filled in. So
I think they were worried about your potential.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Like your mum would dish you up a dinner she didn't like and you'd like throw her out in at the conservatory.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah,
but then sense. Was there any judo clubs around here?
I suppose so. Like, I remember like loads of people done judo. Neil Davis done judo.
Oh, did he?
I remember thinking, oh, he does judo. Like, I wouldn't mess with him. I just always really liked judo suits and like karate suits.
Yeah.
Like, I thought it was a proper call. It was a European cycling. So have we spoke about our bikes on here?
I think so. You talked about my Grifter, I think. I think maybe we left one episode where my Grifter had got nicked.
Right.
But I don't think we've gone post-Grifter, have we?
So obviously after the kind of your Grifters, like you grow up and you get like a racer or a mountain bike.
Well, I got the insurance money from the Grifter and I bought a BMX.
Yeah. You had that BMX till you passed your driving test. You didn't have another bike. You had that white BMX with them blue mushrooms.
I did. I had that same one. I sprayed it though, didn't I?
Did you?
Yeah.
You sprayed it black?
I sprayed it black, but I'd done all these colours like on the, what'd you call the fucking thick bit of the frame. I'd done all these colours on the thick bit of the frame, and then I put masking tape and I wrote Madness on it. And then I sprayed it all black, so it had, like, Madness and all these multicolours.
You still got it?
I would have, but I think my mum got rid of it when I moved out.
I just remember thinking, there's a 6'4" man. Like, it's clearly got pubes. Riding a bike with massive headphones on. Like, it just looked weird.
Well, you know, tell that to the Olympic medalists who are grown-ups riding BMXs. If you want to, like, pour scorn on their dreams, go ahead. Because they're grown-up and they ride BMXs, you know, and they all seem to be doing all right, so fuck you.
Stand corrected. There was a typhoon in Korea. I hate wind.
Wind is rubbish, but is it worse than rain?
Yeah.
No. No.
What's your problem with rain?
Right. Rain can ruin a fucking holiday.
True.
Right. Bit of wind. Just fucking, like, just give your windbreak an extra fucking hit with your mallet.
You've got a lot of barnet. Wind can't do that any favours.
But I'd put on a headscarf if it was too windy. But rain.
Have you ever put on a headscarf?
No.
That would look so good. Just stand at a bus stop with one of that scarf on. That looked fucking excellent.
but rain really fucking ruins an holiday, doesn't it? Like so I was on the beach, you know, like on the beach as a kid, when it fucking rained and you're all like behind your windbreak, like when, you know, your granddad had a newspaper on his head and that. Like rain's fucking rubbish. Bit of wind.
Yeah.
Just fucking, you know.
Rain get in the sea. You won't go in the sea, will
I'll
you?
I'll go in the sea.
Do you?
Yeah.
I bet you don't.
Yes, I fucking do.
Bollocks.
Why don't you think I'll go in the sea?
Nah, I reckon you're like...
You've got this picture of yourself as a really muscly bloke, right? And me as like this kind of feeble child. Like all that stuff with the fucking survival on the island last month. That was all to do with that. That's like you picture yourself as
I'm
someone
like Dennis
who'd be kicking...
Menace,
yeah,
and you're...
Walt and a softie. I'm a bloke. I've got more tattoos than you.
Well, you have.
I've deliberately made sure I have more tattoos than you.
But I reckon you don't. You don't just sling on a pair of trunks and go straight in. I reckon you roll your jeans up and have a paddle.
No, I don't. No, I wear normal swimwear and I go in the sea. And let me tell you, I'll probably get in the sea quicker than you because I bet you're like, oh, it's a bit cold. Always hit me nuts. Always hit me tummy. All me nipples, right? That's you getting into the sea, but I'm just like, bosh, straight in.
Like a lifeguard.
Yeah, and then when I come up, I'm like, ah, it's freezing.
My cock disappeared. Oh, dear. Yeah, I just fucking hate wind. I really hate wind. Like, it just gets on my nerves. I don't like driving when it's windy. I don't like going for a run when it's windy. I don't mind doing all of the aforementioned in the rain.
No, rain's just much worse. Like, I just like, see, I'd do all those things in the wind. I wouldn't go for a run because I never go for a run. But like, no. I'd play football in the wind.
Yeah.
You know, but playing in the rain is fucking rubbish.
If it's raining and you've got football, will you go?
Yeah, I do go.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not a house cat. I can do it and I can pretend in front of the other real men and not be bothered by it. But like, I don't like it. I don't like fucking, you know.
Yeah. Do you have to have a little mug of soup when you get in?
I do, yeah. Just like, but for the first bit, I just hold my hands on it.
Just get the blanket. So, can you remember a thing that we got Lil to film? Our performance art piece that we filmed in your then garden, called From the, I think it was called From the Rain to the Sea.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
I remember what you're talking about. We was wearing leotards, weren't we?
It was leotards? Where did we get leotards
Charity
from?
Shop.
Right.
Was your mint green or was that my one?
Yours was mint green, mine was purple. But I think, did we have white leggings on underneath it?
I think so. And but, I remember we augmented it by, like, didn't we stick cherry tomatoes?
We put a cherry tomato down the front of it. That shows how small that Corey's are.
That cherry tomato was going to make it better.
And I do remember, like, we started at one end of the garden, like, and it was kind of quite a dramatic performance, if I remember rightly. There was, like, on the knees, like, our hands sort of flailing above us. And then I think we'd done, like, an awkward kind of weird, bizarre kind of run or walk.
I remember one out from one side of a tree and one out from the other
side of the tree.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, I remember. Why did we do that?
Yeah, but I think that question applies to everything. Is why the fuck do you do it? It's just because doing something, isn't it? It's just doing something.
I think back then, if you had a video camera and it was charged...
Yeah.
You had to be a dick and do something, didn't you?
Well, because you thought that you might show someone and they might laugh at it.
Yeah, because we never done anything with any of it, did we?
And no, like, we didn't even edit it.
We've got hours and hours and hours of us doing stupid things, dressed in stupid fucking outfits.
That day we all walked around Basildon in our vest and pants and filmed it and went in the...
children's soft play area.
No, they wouldn't let us in, would they? But they gave us £3 to fuck off and Dennis spent it on fags. We told him it was for Great Ormond Street.
That's terrible. I remember going in the Baker's and then asking how much for CD Baps.
Yeah.
Was there a CD Knot?
Yeah,
well?
CD Knot.
Oh, fucking hell. Like... There's something to be said for that sort of fun, though, aren't there? Like, what are we going to do today? Oh, I ain't got anything to do. It's our video camera's charged. All right.
Let's all be silly.
Let's just go and dress up. I mean, the thing is now, do you think, like, I haven't seen people walking around shopping centres since. Was you there when we took all the wank mags off of the shelves in W.H. Smith's?
No, I don't think I was.
That was me and Castle. Me and Joe went in there. Dressed in suits with fucking Ray-Bans and lenses pushed out. We went at WHS and started taking the fucking Razmags off the fucking top shelf. We got manhandled out of there, and then we tried to do it in the little news agents, and he booted us out as well.
So what were you doing once you got them off, just looking at them?
Pretty much. Well, no, we were saying that we didn't want them on the shelves because we thought they were disgusting. We just wanted some attention.
Look at us.
Film it.
Are you glad YouTube weren't around then?
No, I think I would have loved having all of that on YouTube, but then I'd probably look back at some of the stuff that we've done there and thought, I'm really glad that's not on YouTube.
Yeah, that's what I think, is I'm just really glad it ain't all on YouTube.
Yeah. Probably acceptable in the 80s.
Yeah.
News-wise, there was new regs put through on laws of nutrition in America. School dinners were too trashy, so they upped it and changed it that ketchup and the pickled relish was now vegetables, so you could still get your burgers, but you had to have them with it because they were two of your five a day.
That's good, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really good. I don't know why I wrote it down without even cross-referencing this, but it says John Barnes was born.
John Barnes was born?
Yes.
In 1981.
He peaked early, didn't he?
He always looked young, didn't he?
Yeah. He was handsome, John Barnes. Well, we're talking about him like he's dead.
But he was handsome. Now he looks like a potato with a face on.
Did you see that?
I had a poster of John Barnes, didn't I? I'm sure I fucking talked about this. But I had a poster of John Barnes, like, leaning out the edge of a swimming pool. Like, on my wall for about 10 years. Like, looking back, it was probably quite homoerotic.
Yeah.
Like, it was just him, like, with his top off, like, leaning out of a swimming pool. Weren't even playing football or anything.
Barnsley,
yeah.
Speaking of blokes, I didn't mention this when we were talking about blokes earlier. New video today come out by the Stranglers.
Oh, really?
Blokes.
Yeah.
Who's the star of the video?
Pat Roach?
Stuart Pearce. That's a bloke combo, isn't it?
Yeah, he's a bloke, isn't he?
Stranglers and Stuart Pearce.
What the fucking hell was Stuart Pearce doing in the video?
I ain't going to ask him. He'll fucking give you a dry slap, won't he?
Yeah.
Right.
Do you reckon he's old, Stuart Pearce? Or is he old for a footballer?
What footballers are actually old?
Because they always say, don't they, oh, the old man, like Graham Souness.
Vinnie Jones.
Mind you, I reckon Vinnie Jones would probably... Nah, don't you reckon?
Nah.
Oh, I don't know. I reckon he could have had it.
Terry Butcher?
Because he was a proper bloke, Vinnie Jones. Like, you could imagine him on a building site. Like, you can't imagine Graham Souness on a building site.
Nah. Roy Keane?
Nah. I think he thinks he's hard. Don't he?
Yeah. Who's the hardest bloke you know? Like, in the world, anyone. Who's the hardest bloke?
It ain't you.
No, it ain't me. Like, who's the hardest bloke in the world?
It sounded like you was fishing for me to say you.
Who's the hardest bloke in the world?
What, have anyone I know or not? Or anyone I actually know?
Yeah, in the world.
I don't know, because I haven't paid attention to, like, boxing and stuff since the 80s. Matter. So like, it'd be Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
I think Mike Tyson was the hardest bloke in the world. Do you think there's anyone harder than Mike Tyson when he was really hard?
Nah.
Because he was like, he was filth as well.
Yeah.
Like, didn't mind fighting dirty and...
Possibly Apollo Creed.
Do you reckon Apollo Creed could have him?
Probably.
No.
Move well. Mr. T was pretty fucking hard.
Yeah, but then he wore them little shorts and loved his mama.
There ain't no other. Right, so, I've got a couple more stories before we can wrap it up.
Was Mike Tyson the oldest bloke in the 80s? But then, see, what if you'd have got Tyson together with Pat Roach in the ring?
Yeah.
Because that would happen now. That would be on YouTube or fucking pay-per-view.
Be in the cage now. Like, yeah, I don't know. Like...
Roach would pull a fucking distributor out, wouldn't he? Like, buy the fucking... Yeah. Buy the leads and just fucking...
Yeah. I can picture Mike Tyson running away and getting in a car and fucking Hightower just rolling it. Like, Hightower, I reckon, could fucking mix it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I don't know. I do think, like...
Hightower would be someone that someone else would hit.
Yeah.
And, like, they'd just look at their hand and all their fingers would be broken.
Oh, shit. Yeah, definitely. There was the largest ever jailbreak took place in September 1981 in Poland, which then led to a riot.
Do you know, I love the idea of a jailbreak. It's sort of like a pitch invasion,
yeah,
isn't it?
Like,
like, there's a couple of people like, guess what we're going to do? And yeah, then the rest were, hey!
Like an after party, isn't it? Can you remember when Bollocks done a pitch invasion?
Oh, fucking hell. Yeah.
So I was on an aeroplane coming home from holiday and I bought a newspaper. And when I turned on the back page, they were like complaining about this end of West Ham season, this pitch invasion. And there was Bollocks, who's never...
He's like the least football bloke, isn't he?
Ever.
Anyone?
On the pitch, doing a pitch invasion. And I was like, what's happened this week since I've been gone? Like, my mate's literally fucking now doing pitch invasions with the fucking ICF. What's happened? But,
That would have been my...
Yeah, it was. Really. This is what we. This is what everyone does. Brilliant. This is fun. I think so. I want to sort of let's find a scenario, right? So we're in Lakeside Shopping Centre, right? We're walking along. I throw an apple over my shoulder. It hits someone on the head. They turn round. You turn round. They punch you. I punch him, and then it. Domino effect, right?
Like a Western, everyone throwing tables up and getting their mates.
Of course, yeah. Then all of a sudden, someone gets thrown through a shop window, alarms start going, people then start smashing other windows. Before we know it, full-on riot.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
I'd probably just like run up to the camera and go, hey everyone, free TVs!
Hey, free TVs! What would you actually do? Would you get involved?
I'd just loot some it.
Like what?
Just, I don't know.
Wouldn't
just,
you smash anything?
Yeah, like I'd put a big window through.
Yeah.
And then I'd loot some stuff out of it. Like I didn't even really want or need. And I'd just take it home and just sit there.
Yeah. I love the fact that you're just going to fucking throw a great big fucking bin through like Barber and then just walk out of Lakeside in a fucking jacket. In a wanker's jacket. Oh, I'd love to get caught up in that. I think that'd be proper exciting.
Yeah, it would be good.
I'd love to knock a... Like, coppers don't wear tits anymore, do they?
No, they don't. No, they don't wear tits for the express purpose that people just knock them off
I'd
in
love
riots.
I'd love to have just looked like knocked a tit off an head. I'd like to have done that.
Yeah.
Proper smash a massive window. I'd like to do that.
Would you pick a particular shop? Is there a shop you think's a cunt that you'd want to put the window through, or would it just be any shop? Just like some old blokey's like life business. Like that one in Croydon now all burnt down.
No, I wouldn't do that. I'd do a chain. Or I'd do the reception at St. Osyth's Holiday Park. I'd definitely do like one where like it ain't gonna fucking be detrimental to their lifestyle if they've got to fucking get a new window.
Well, like Poundland or something.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't do that.
You cheap cunts.
I wouldn't want to fucking...
Every time I go in for one thing, I spend about 18 quid. Have that.
Yeah.
Oh, roll plugs.
No, you know, what's the most expensive? A jeweller's?
Yeah.
I'd literally just fucking smash a jeweller's and literally just fucking walk around like Bobby George for the next fucking month. He was in my top five.
I was a...
Yeah, yeah. He's a bloke, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Right, I think... Oh, no, last story. Simon and Garfunkel hit folk combo from the 60s and 70s.
I know who they are.
Just for the listeners, they may not. They've got back together and played a huge gig, which was subsequently, I believe, a video release live in Central Park.
Oh, well, I didn't know about any of that.
Yeah. You a fan?
Yeah, I like them without knowing that much about them. Like, obviously, you know, all the songs from The Graduate and that.
Yeah. What's your favourites?
Sound of Silence. Hmm? It's a good one. I like Mrs. Robinson.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
I like America.
How's America go?
We'll go to look for America.
Hmm.
I like that. Homeward Bound.
Good, isn't it?
Yeah. Sitting at a railway station. You packed your bags, didn't you? And what bike? You didn't do that on your BMX, did you?
No. Do you know what? No, I didn't do it on my BMX, but I was 18, and some bloke. I was still working part time in the sweet shop, and some bloke come in who had some dodgy mountain bikes, and so like off the back of a lorry, and so I bought one off him for like 120 quid or something.
Because you went travelling, didn't you?
Yeah, I went travelling. Yeah,
right. Because yeah. I remember feeling sad, and we were sort of, you know, had a bit of a sort of send off for it, and it was like
big send off.
What was the plan? Was you was going to go across Europe, wasn't you?
Yep.
So, what was it going to be? A year? How long was your plan on going for?
Six months to a year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I remember, I remember sort of going home and saying to my mum, it's going to be weird, like, having come around.
Bereft.
And, she was he'll be back before you know it. How long was you gone for?
You're such a cunt, aren't you? Do you know it's a fortnight? Now they all know it's a fucking fortnight.
I didn't realise it was that short.
Yeah.
I thought it was about a month.
I had to proper string it out for a fortnight as well.
Right. You went with someone, didn't you?
Yeah, Jeff.
Right. Don't say, yeah, Jeff. He was like your new mate.
I knew him for 5 years at school.
Yeah, you kept him hidden from us lot.
Well, yeah, I went to a posh school though, so I was embarrassed of you. Like, so that's why I didn't introduce you to any proper schoolmates.
No, you don't want to meet Roy, Jeff, you get nits. All right, so you and Jeff headed off, right? So what, on the ferry over to France?
Yeah, we caught the ferry from New Haven to Dieppe.
Right.
And, where there was meant to be three of us going, and John dropped out with like a week to go. And bearing in mind this is like, I don't know, like what was it, fucking like 1989?
Yeah.
So it was in the days before the internet. So we'd obviously done all our research on what we were going to do while we were there. We were going to pick grapes. We had a bit of money to kind of last us for a couple of weeks, and then we was going to pick grapes. Jeff had a four-man tent that was so fucking heavy that we carried it between us, like, on our backs in fucking rucksacks and panniers. And then we was out there for 1 week. Jeff didn't speak one single fucking word of French, and I had to do everything. I didn't speak great French, but I got by. But
was it helpful speaking that? Did you do Jeff any favours with the ladies?
I don't think we even met any ladies. It was right. It was bleak. It was fucking... It was hot... It was bleak.
What was bleak?
The fact that Jeff didn't speak any French, so I had to fucking do everything for him. We were skint because we knew we only had 2 weeks' money. So we was just like, we'd go to a supermarket and just buy like a pack of ham and some carrots and then just like sit and eat them by a station. And then we nearly got murdered. Like some fucking like weird bloke and his 13-year-old girlfriend on the back of a bike was trying to get us to stay in his caravan.
In the woods?
And like... Yeah, it was like on the edge of some woods, and Jeff wanted to go with him, and I really think we'd never have fucking been seen again if we'd have gone with him.
So
I think he was going to have like a rob up, maybe like a little rape and that, and a bit of a murder and that.
So you started picking grapes, and that would have got you the money to get to Spain.
No, it's the wrong season for picking grapes. There was no fucking grapes. Oh, okay. There was nothing, and I don't even think we were in the right part of France for picking grapes. And then, like, we eventually ended up in, like, the middle of France, and Jeff went over a stone on his racer, and it fucked his wheel, and it cost the rest of his money to sort his wheel out. And so he went straight home after a week and just got the train home. And I thought, like, fuck, I've only been gone a week, I just can't go straight home. So to save face, I just biked back, like, on my own for a week across France.
Did you have to carry the old tent?
No, it was so fucking heavy. Jeff took it on the train. I had to buy a new tent. So, like, I literally had enough money to fucking... Like, I didn't even have enough money to get the train back. I just biked back with my new one-man tent. Like, and just, you know, done about, like, 120 kilometres a day just to get back across France. And I couldn't come back too quickly because, like, I'd said a big goodbye to everyone. And it was like, you know, like, I remember doing a big goodbye when I left Burton's, like, the menswear shop. And then you kind of get outside the shop and I realise I've left something in my locker and you have to go... you know, you've hugged all the girls and like, yeah, you know, there's been a few tears and that, and then you have to go back in and get something, and everyone's like, yes, see you then. And like, I'd had such a big goodbye, like, you know, to be away for that amount of time. Like, I couldn't just go back after a week, and like, so I ended up coming back after a fortnight.
I was just starting to like kind of sort of settle in with a new bunch of mates, and like they were into like golf and stuff like that. And I thought, oh, do you know what? I can see my life. Like, they didn't have video cameras, they weren't dressing up like knobs. And like,
you wouldn't have fitted in, you'd have been like Richard Hammond, like having to laugh at all the bullies' jokes, but being the butt of them actually.
Oh, fucking hell. Right, I think we're done. I think I've literally exhausted everything I've got here. Have you got anything else?
No, I just want to say, like, to everyone, you know, thanks for all your messages of support that you keep sending us, you know, for this podcast, and thanks for, you know, all the positivity and that, you know, through these bleak times. And, like, see you next month and that.
What was that about?
Huh? You meant a closed podcast with that, didn't you?
I suppose so.
Fuck off, you bunch of cunts. See you in October.
Thank you.
Remembering when we were young in the 80s.